Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, December 12th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. And in part one today, we are speaking with our great friend, Janelle Weir, horticultural educator with UW-Madison Division of Extension, Marathon County and Wood County. And Janelle, we are all out of time. No, I'm just kidding. We appreciate you and the whole gang over Extension hanging out with us. I always like to warn Janelle beforehand that not only am I a huge fan, but my dad loves this segment. And we always have a fun topic to talk about. And we always learn from it. And with the one we got today, not only is it seasonally perfect timing, but I think really interesting, Janelle. We're going to be focusing on choosing and caring for your Christmas trees.
Yeah. So, I mean, timely topic. I'm pretty excited because this information is coming straight from one of our state specialists. So She just released a document, a publication on this topic. And so I'm excited to do what I do best, which is, you know, taking that research from the specialists and bringing it out to my communities.
Well, there's a lot of Wisconsin pride involved in this topic, too, because Wisconsin produces and has a lot of these trees that not only here in Wisconsin, of course, but around the Midwest and throughout the country. People use a lot of our trees and everything. So this is a topic I think people can also take a lot of pride in, and when we're talking about it as well. And people do take pride in these trees, and they have in their living rooms. They're going to take pictures of them. They're going to have them up for family and everything. And we want these trees to look good for you. We want them to be in good place. And what are when it comes to having a regular old Christmas tree, a real Christmas tree, or a fake one, what are the differences? What are some of the benefits of a real tree?
Yeah, so when we think about Christmas trees, and here I'm talking about real trees, but cut trees. Okay, I'm going to maybe distinguish a little bit between live trees, and live trees are going to be either ball and burlapped, or they're going to be still inside of a container. Mm-hmm. They've got the roots. The idea here is going to be to plant them outside after the end of the holiday season. Mm-hmm. That's a lot different than what we're going to be talking about today. So I just wanted to make sure that we're making that distinction.
Yeah.
We're talking about trees that have a very limited time of life. Right? Mm-hmm. They've already been cut. So with these trees, there's still a lot of benefits that come with utilizing these instead of artificial trees. Big one that comes to mind for me is live trees that have been cut. They sequester greenhouse gases, and they remove up to 1 ton of carbon dioxide over the course of their lifetime. So, you know, it's, kind of a single-use product, and there's a bit of time there in the development of this product, right?
Yeah.
Usually it takes, I think, if I remember right, it's about 7 to 10 years for how long for them to grow them out. But over that period of time, they're sequestering all of this carbon dioxide for us, which is going to be important to us, you know, these like little added benefits here and there when we're thinking about climate change as a whole.
Yeah.
And then some of the other things that I think is pretty exciting is, you know, a lot of organizations will recycle those Christmas trees after the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm kind of thinking about organizations like Trouts Unlimited, you know, that they use the trees for habitat restoration.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to, also I wanted to mention that you not just those organizations can utilize them to benefit through recycling the tree itself, but you can use parts of the tree to recycle too, right?
Yeah.
So if you've got, and especially it's cold and we don't have a nice thick snow cover yet, right?
Mm.
So after the holidays, if we still don't have a thick snow cover, it may be prudent to utilize some of those branches, put them down, so you'd be pruning them off the main trunk of the tree, right?
Mm-hmm.
Use those branches as a winter mulch to help protect your perennials, right?
Yeah.
So you could do that.
Great idea.
Yeah, wow, yeah. Man. I mean, it's a racehorse right there.
Mm-hmm.
This way, you know, especially we don't really know how the winter's going to turn out, right?
Yeah.
So this is just another added thing that you can utilize your tree. And then, you know, even if, let's say that you live in an apartment,
mm-hmm.
or you don't have perennial beds. Mm-hmm. That's not a motivation for you, right? You got your vegetable garden, but you already put that to bed mm-hmm. way back in the fall. You know what? Municipalities will also often recycle trees, right? And mm-hmm. what they do is they'll take them and chip them and basically turn them into a mulch. And then we can use that as a resource to mulch our plants in the spring. So, you know, anytime that we're able to take that that carbon and mm-hmm. add it back to the soil, whether you're in sandy soil or you're in a heavy clay soil, adding organic matter in the form of mulch or other forms is just going to be a benefit to your soil.
Yeah. The points you make about these are all noteworthy, and I think a great reminder if you didn't already know. But the sequestering, boy, I just can't speak today.
Sequestering.
Thank you. The greenhouse gases, I don't believe that that's common knowledge. And just in that alone, thank you for being here today. Like, if that's all we mentioned and we just let you go, that right there is impactful information that I don't think a lot of people knew. Thank you for sharing that, Janelle. That's very interesting. As far as selecting the right Christmas tree, that can be a little bit difficult as well, and it's always nice to have some tips on that one.
Yeah, so, you know, this is a live product, right? And just like with any other live product, a fresher is going to be better, right? Think about strawberries, you know, in June, I would rather have a local strawberry than a California strawberry. Same is true with your Christmas trees. So a lot of, and I feel uncomfortable throwing shade here. I don't like to talk bad about any businesses or anything, but we should, as consumers, be aware of the fact that a lot of the trees that are coming to really those big box stores, but a lot of times maybe at tree lots or, you mm-hmm. know, things like that, those trees are coming from out west. They're either coming from, they could be coming from Oregon, Washington, or even as far as the western provinces of Canada, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and they're not taking first class flights to CWA, right?
Although that'd be a great image. That image popped in my head right away. Just a bunch of pines just sitting in first class.
Right. So, I mean, they were cut, you know, a long time ago, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks ago, right? And so they're just simply not as fresh as a local tree would be. How, and then if they're not as fresh, they're going to dry out a lot faster. Yeah. They're already going to be in the process of drying out. So how do you know, if you don't have the background information of knowing, you know, hey, you know, you can't ask the tree, you know, let me see your papers. Mm-hmm. Where were you born? Right.
Right.
So without having that background knowledge, one thing that I would suggest is, you know, if you're looking at trees, no matter what type of tree it is, and we're going to get into species in just a mm-hmm. second, but no matter what type of tree it is, just go ahead and give a tug on a branch, right? Mm. And you want to feel those needles, and the outer needles, right? So I'm talking about the very edge of the branch. Give mm-hmm. it a tug and feel those needles. Do they feel dry? Do they fall out? Do they bend easily? Are they nice and flexible? That's going to give you a clue as to how long ago was this tree cut and how much life does it really have once it's inside your house. Got to keep in mind, once we bring these trees inside our house, they dry out fast. Even if we do everything perfect, mm-hmm. our houses are dry. They're going to dry out fast, right? So we want to make sure that those needles are nice and flexible, and just keep in mind interior needles being brown and falling off. That's totally normal. Those are last year's needles. You know, that's just part of, that's like our fingernails falling off, mm-hmm. right? That's natural and normal. Mm-hmm. The ends, the tips, if that's drying out, if that's not flexible, that's where you should be paying attention.
Oftentimes, in fact, most of the time you're in, Janelle, I'm learning stuff as we're talking. This is one I knew a little bit. I've gotten to cut my own tree down a couple times, and it was really cool. Both the places I went to, two very different places right outside of Chicago when I was living there. But both places, they were very adamant about teaching us this. And hey, when you're picking out a tree, don't just go by appearance. Grab the tree, touch the tree, pull on the branches, some of that. It was really cool that they shared that information before we went out there and cut the tree down and stuff. It's something I encourage everybody to try at least once in their life, if not multiple times, having a real tree. There's nothing like it, cutting it down yourself. It's such a great time of year thing to do here. But it's also important to have all these other things in mind while you're doing that. You can do both things and really have a great Christmas tree from it.
Oh, absolutely. And I like that you mentioned, you know, if you cut the tree yourself at, you know, a tree farm that's set up for that, you are probably going to have, well, not probably, you will have the freshest tree possible. So that's best case scenario.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, follow the other suggestions for the other cases.
And when it comes to types of trees, this one I do need your help on because I love trees. I think they're really awesome, but I can't always tell them apart. So as far as the types of trees we're looking for this time of year to bring into our homes and touching on this, can we get into that a little bit?
Yeah, so there's some basic species that you're going to see if you're out Christmas tree shopping. So big ones, and probably my very favorite, are going to be the firs. So Fraser firs, concolor or white firs, balsams or Douglas firs. Pines are also a popular one. We'll talk a little bit more about them in a second, but those are going to be your Scots pines and your eastern white pines. Less popular for our area is going to be your spruces, so your Black Hill spruce, Norway, and Colorado blue spruces. Very rarely will you see junipers, and we'll get into why you will very rarely see junipers. But let's talk first when I was writing this up and thinking about this, I kind of started thinking of it as an award show, right?
Yeah, I like that. Oh, yeah, perfect.
So we've got up first, best needle retention and color retention. Mm. And by far, those are going to be your firs, your true firs. So your balsams and your Fraser firs. Honorable mention, we'll give the white firs too.
They deserve that, yeah.
As far as best aroma, hands down, balsam firs. They are incredibly fragrant. But you know what? You bring a Fraser fir inside your house and you're going to just smell Christmas too. Balsam's probably the most aromatic, but you know, Fraser's got some really good things going for it as well. In particular, Fraser's and white fir, they've got stiffer branches than a balsam. And so if you've got heavier ornaments, and I'm really thinking about those cherished heirloom ornaments that you do not want to break because they're irreplaceable,
yes,
right?
Yes.
You may want to then lean further into the Fraser fir because it's going to have those stiffer branches than the balsam.
So, that's a neat point there. I wouldn't have thought of. Oh, that's interesting.
You got to kind of, weigh it out, personal preferences.
This next category, I really feel like this is my year. I really feel like needles is my year. I think I'm going to do good in this category.
All right. So, thinking about those needles, you know, those white firs, they have got these really gorgeous, if you're looking for that silver blue color, go for the white firs. Mm. And they also have a really nice smell. It's not as strong as the balsams, but the smell is going to be almost citrus-like. Mm. And then next up, we've got our Frasers. Frasers are really kind of a dark green on the top, but they're light on the bottom. They've got white undersides. Keep in mind, though, they are pretty pokey, okay? Mm-hmm. Those needles they're not as flexible and as soft as the balsams.
Yeah.
Rounding out this category, we've got our balsams. And balsams are going to be kind of a bluish-green color. The top and the bottom of the needles are going to be about the same color, but they are a lot softer. So if you've got littles around, you may want to lean into the balsams.
Mm. And is there a perfect tree for pets? Is there? No, not just they're good luck. That's
right.
That's good luck.
But
what about some other ones, though, when it comes to these trees?
Yeah. So I had mentioned those pines, right? So the Scots pine is going to have the needle retention is not as fantastic, and the aroma is just not as there as it is with the firs. The eastern white pine, I only had an eastern white pine once, and beautiful tree. It has this, like, really the tree that year, I remember it. It was gorgeous. It had just a beautiful shape to it. Weak branches. Branches so weak that the main decorating that year was lights and fabric bows because it couldn't support any of my ornaments.
I feel for
it
you.
It was just a surprise.
Yeah.
It was, Oh, now okay. I know.
Save a little time putting up the tree. Okay, yeah, saves a little time. But, oh, that's, okay, good note. Those are really good notes, Janelle. Things I don't think we necessarily think about when picking out our tree.
And then a couple of others I just wanted to mention. Those spruces that I mentioned earlier, they don't have that needle retention that we're looking at with the firs. The needles are sharper, and they're not as aromatic. And then junipers, just simply, they're not very practical. It's hard to get ornaments around the branches. They don't make fantastic trees. So I would say save those for, if you absolutely have to.
Yeah. Now, we have gotten people pretty set up for this, Janelle. Now they picked out their tree. Now what?
So the first thing I would do is reach into the very center of the tree, grab the trunk, and you're just going to bang it on the ground several times. Bam, bam, bam. What you're doing is shaking loose any of those internal needles that are brown. Remember I mentioned this is a very natural thing. It's going to have brown needles in the interior. That's okay, right? But those are going to fall inside of your house. So while you're outside at the tree lot or wherever, before you bring it in, make sure you shake out those dead needles. Mm-hmm. And then next, we want to make sure that we're putting a fresh cut on that tree. We want to make sure that we're removing at least a minimum of 1 to 2 inches off of that base. If you need to make your tree shorter than that to fit it in the place that you've got for inside your house, that's fine. Just make sure that you're at a minimum, you're cutting off at least 1 to 2 inches. Now is a good time to go ahead and remove those lower limbs. That way they're not going to interfere with your ability to water the tree as well as stuff it full of presents, right? And then a lot of times people think that they should either do an angle cut on the base. Yeah. No angle cuts. These are not cut flowers, they're trees. And a lot of times people go, oh, I know I'm supposed to do an angle cut with the cut flowers. Not in this case, okay? So straight cuts, and then along the same lines too, we're not drilling holes into the side of the trunk. Sometimes people think that if they drill holes into the side of the trunk, it helps with that uptake of moisture. Actually, it interferes with the uptake of moisture. So just a nice straight cut off of the bottom is really all you need. Mm-hmm. And then make sure that you're getting that tree in the tree stand with water within 2 hours of making that fresh cut. Mm-hmm. So, if you're going to be, you're getting the tree at the tree lot and the folks at the tree lot say, I'll go ahead and do a fresh cut. But you know that this tree is going to be sitting in a protected place outdoors for 2 or 3 days before you're going to be able to bring it in.
Yeah.
Then you don't need to get that first. You don't need to do the cut at the tree lot. Wait until you're going to bring it inside. Okay. Really important, because once that, what happens is the trunk is going to make a seal, just like a scab with our skin, right? And once that seal is formed, we are all done. So I want to talk real quickly about that tree stand. We want to make sure that the reservoir in the tree stand holds about a gallon of water, okay? And you will always, always, always have water inside that reservoir. I really, I'm speaking to my Gen X cohorts out there. I think that they probably will remember what I'm going to refer to next. But we really want to treat the water in the tree stand to like a Magawe, right?
Oh, yes.
So
oh, that's great.
If that doesn't ring a bell to you, think gremlins, right?
Yes, yes,
and so
yes.
These are, the Magawe are the little creatures before they become gremlins.
Yeah.
And, you think about what is that one rule? That one rule. You do not feed them after midnight.
Do not. Yes.
So I want that inside of your head, right? You do not let that tree stand go empty, right?
It's
otherwise, bad things happen.
Yeah.
Here, your house is not going to get filled with gremlins, but instead, your tree is going to seal up tight and it's not going to take any more water.
It's a really good note and a great way for us to remember that, especially somebody like me. Yeah, I'm definitely going to remember that. I wanted the Magawe when I was a kid, so I'm definitely remembering that. And it's a great note to wrap up on here, too. When it comes to this, I will say, if you have a real tree and you're worried about keeping up on the watering of it and everything, if you have kids around, it's a great job, quote unquote, job for kids. I know when I was little, my mom and dad often put me in charge of this. And man, did I take it serious. I loved having this as a job. job. And it also felt like I got a couple extra points before Christmas, which if you were a kid like me, you needed those points. But it's a great way for them to feel involved in all of this, too, and to give them and kids oftentimes love these little jobs, especially this time of year where they feel like they're helping and being adult-like and everything. It's another great way of doing this, of putting it on the calendar, on your phone, anything you need to do to help you remember to keep that tree, nice, and because trees love to drink. They're thirsty.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I know for me, I utilize my phone a lot. I just set Google mm-hmm. reminders for myself. I'm basically, my phone's telling me what to do from one step to the next.
It works. Whatever it takes to keep that tree healthy. And lastly, of course, recycling. That's such a great part of this.
Yeah. Like I mentioned before, in those benefits. So, either through your municipality, or if you don't have local tree pickup, then think about some other opportunities that you have. You can donate them. Oftentimes, like I mentioned, there's some different organizations that will take them for habitat restoration. Or, depending, if you've got a lot of property, maybe that you could do a little habitat mm-hmm. Restoration too. And that's a great resource to just get started with.
It's a great way for that tree to have a second life there and to really put do its job and put back into the world like they love to do. Janelle, always an important and great conversation with you. And I know that people you like to have follow-up questions about some of the great information you share with us. How can they reach you if they need to?
So reaching out directly to the Extension office is always a fantastic way to reach me. That phone number is 715-421-8440. Otherwise, you can connect directly with me through email, and that's going to be my first name dot last name. So janelle.weher@wisc.edu.
Always appreciate the time. Always have a great time talking with you, Janelle. Thank you so much. Wishing you and yours a happy holidays. And say the same to our friends at Extension, please.
You as well.
Thank you. And we'll have more coming up for you here at Midday Magazine on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR. We are locally grown radio.